Blog Talk Radio.
Fellas,
let's get this party started. Crank it up.
Sorry about that. Oh!
Here it is. Had an awesome match last night against Cesaro.
Rapido!
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Oh, man. Sorry about that, fellas. Man, I had a little technical difficulties, but hey, it's good. It's good. You know, we're back to normal here.
Hey.
And it's what it's all about. You are officially talking sports with 12 men. Man, today is where? We are ready to rip and run. It is the 7th. We are going to have some fun. Always, guys, I'm going to get paid like Russell Wilson. That's what I'm trying to do, man. You know, so I don't know. We'll see.
That is crazy.
Man. Hey, it's always want to welcome the show. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, checking with the fellas, Jaquan, as well as Robert Ford. Mr. Robert Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Couldn't be better, man. Still enjoying all of this NBA action right now. I tell you what, even in off season.
Yes, and what about Mr. JQ? How you doing, sir? How you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I am awesome. I'm heading to Cincinnati this weekend to get the All-Star festivities going, and Ty Frazier and Chapman got voted into the All-Star game. I'm awesome right now.
Man, sounds like fun. Well, take some pictures, man. Have some fun as always. Without any further ado, I'd like to check in, give you some numbers if you want to call into the show. As always, like we always do, if you want to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. And then finally, we are also on the Twitter space. If you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, we are there, as well as Facebook. We're in that world. You go to Facebook.com and put in /TalkingSports12Men. If you actually put in 12 Men Sports, you'll actually find us as well. So, got a lot of things to talk about. I know, Rob, thank you for sending us the updated topics as well. So we're going to jump into that like we always do. And I think I want to kind of kick this off, too, because I know we were talking a little bit about kind of a historic moment for the World Cup, USA over Japan. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch that. It was awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, it didn't seem like it was just amazing to see the ladies that did their thing. They kind of had a little scoring barrage, man, there. So, like, you know, 4-1, and then they scored, like, 4 goals
crazy.
In the carry. It was crazy. So, I don't know if you want to talk about that. I'm going to throw it out real quick to JQ, man. What did you think about that, sir?
I was with our friend Bazoo. I was watching the game with him. And that first 16 minutes, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in a soccer match, men's or women's. That was amazing. My favorite goal is like everybody else's, that midfield goal. To have the wherewithal to look up and see the goalie out of place and drill one right on the line and have it buckle and go over her head and go in for the hat trick. I mean, that was sick. Carly Lloyd made herself so much money on Sunday. I don't even think, you know, we're going to really be able to put a number on it. That was just fantastic all around. I mean, you could just look at Japan. They were shell-shocked. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it looks like a video game.
Yeah. What about you, Rob? What do you think about that, sir?
Oh, I thought it was incredible. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the biggest soccer fan or football fan in the world, but that was an incredible match to watch. I mean, I truly enjoyed it. And as JQ mentioned, Carly was incredible. And endorsers are lining up to sign her, so it's going to be really interesting. And I kind of had to start the program off tonight with women's sports. I received a personal message that we don't talk enough women's sports on our show, and so we have to kick it off with some women's soccer and some and also some women tennis on tonight.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, and congratulations, Team USA. You definitely made us all proud to be an American. That was a thrilling victory. And as JQ mentioned, that you know, sometimes you sit there and watch a soccer match, you can go 90 minutes, an hour without seeing somebody score. And for us to start off that game with almost 4 goals in the first 16 minutes was incredible.
Yeah, and just one thing to piggyback on that real fast. I'm sorry, Dre. Come on, y'all. What y'all are doing to the women's pay? Did you look at that? I think they made like 3.6, and the winner of the men's makes 15 million for winning the World Cup. and the men play on grass. They got the women playing on turf. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures that the ladies took with their legs after a game. It's disgraceful. So, FIFA, please, I know that's asking a lot, but get it together. That's just ridiculous.
Good call, man. And Jaquan, you got daughters too, right? Is that something you you want to see them playing soccer or anything like that as well, sir, or what?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of that question.
Oh, I said you've got daughters too, right, as well. So, you know, you're pretty much, is that something, you know, good to see as far as that as well, you know, seeing the women and kind of, we're kind of talking, show love to our ladies as well too, man. So that's kind
yeah.
of, yeah, okay.
Absolutely. It's just disgraceful.
Yeah, man.
It is disgraceful.
Yeah. All right, so as Rob said, we got to keep it going here. We got to show some love, and if you're watching Wimbledon, it's a lot of interesting things. We're going to talk about Serena beating her sister Venus, and Rally's past Azarenka. I don't know her, and then she's going to face Sharapova in the Wimbledon. Thank you. I was having fun.
Come on, man.
With
we
that.
Need you to get that correct. There's
that.
Our host.
Come on, man. I was having fun with that too. But
I know you're working on a new contract, man. You got to get your pronunciations down.
I know. Yeah. No more. But yeah, she's going to face Sharapova. So let's talk about. So let's talk about that too. I don't know if you want to comment about that too, Rob. Anything to say about that as well?
Well, yeah, obviously in her match over Venus yesterday, Venus is overmatched right now at this stage of her career, and you know, Serena won that in dominating fashion on yesterday morning. So I mean, she in straight Serena fashion here. She's advancing to the semis. She's going to face Maria Sharapova, and you know, I expect her to still continue to move on and add to her legacy and win another major tournament here. You know, and I know today she lost the first set and had to come back from behind and win. But you know, sometimes you need a wake up call, and I think that was a minor wake up call. I still expect her to move on and win the Wimbledon championship, and once again add another major to her legacy.
JQ.
Yeah, absolutely. Even to go one round further back, that round, game she played against the young Brit, that was absolutely stunning as well. That was a really good match. But, yeah, she's, you know, at this point, she is 17-3 against Azarenka. So, I mean, they're good friends off the court, but I think, you know, she just has her number, and Serena's just playing on another level because we talked about Venus. Venus was actually playing really well until she ran into Serena. I mean, it's hard to get to the round of 16. She was playing pretty well. Serena, you know, she hates to do that to her sister, but, yeah, like you said, she's just on another level.
Got
to
do it.
Right now. But, yeah, you got to. Somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. But interesting against Sharapova, she is 17-2 against Sharapova and has won 16 straight. So, I mean, that's as close as you can take a deed out on another person as possible. I don't look for it to be anything different. She just has her number as well. You know, when she faces up against another big hitter, she's just a bigger hitter of everybody else. The problem where you can get Serena's in trouble is those smaller, scrappier players who can get to all those shots and make her cover, make her run. That's how you beat her. You can't just stand on the baseline and rally with her. So I think I look for her to move on against Sharapova rather easy. I don't think she'll even drop the set.
Yes. Azarenka put in a great match. She was able to, you know, Serena was able to rally back. And like you said, it's going to be an interesting final. But like you said, I don't think she's going to have any challenges. But, you know, like you said, good points on all. Venus is playing well. Man, it's one of those things. But, you know, definitely exciting. And, you know, like you said, I think the power of Serena continues to as you said, you know, JQ, the smaller, scrappier players give a lot of challenges. But she's just on another level right now. So we'll see how long she is going to continue to dominate in that particular sport too. So let's kick some moves here, guys. And I think we're going to talk about let's talk about some moves for the NBA. And there's a couple things we're going to definitely talk about, some free agent tracking and whatnot. But if you didn't know, right now, it looks like the Cleveland Cavaliers are trying to make a move to acquire Joe Johnson. And I don't know if this is still going anywhere. I'm going to kick this to Rob. I mean, you know, obviously right now, you know, this is an interesting scenario too. So I'm going to kick it to Rob. What are your thoughts about this? And is it something that you're still going to pull off, or how's this going to play out, sir?
Well, the Cavs are right now, their first choice is to work a trade to get Joe Johnson. Their second choice is to work a trade to get Jamal Crawford from the Clippers. And obviously with the Joe Johnson situation, they're offering Brandon Haywood, who's got an expiring contract, and also Anderson Varejao, who's got an expiring contract, which will give the Nets some leverage to play with in the offseason next year. You know, the salary cap will increase next year, as well as they'll have those salaries coming off the books. And, you know, Joe Johnson is making over $20-something million a year. So they got to match up the salaries here. Brandon Haywood is making close to 11. I think Varejao is making close to $10 million. And so it may even have to include a third party, a third player in this trade as well. But that's the number one option, is to work out that deal for Joe Johnson. The next option is to trade Brandon Haywood straight up for Jamal Crawford. Their salaries match in the trade. That's their second option. I expect them to acquire one of those two players. Obviously, Joe Johnson at the moment is still their number one option. And I tell you what, if they are able to acquire him, I think they're winning the East next year without Joe Johnson, but if they acquire him, I think they'll have a strong chance to win the NBA title as well. When you consider, obviously the team's got to stay healthy, but if you consider Kyrie Irving, Joe Johnson in the backcourt, and then if you you get Mozgov, Kevin Love, and LeBron James with a Tristan Thompson and a few other players coming off the bench, and you also got to throw in the fact that they re-signed Shumpert. They bring in Mo Williams back as well. So they're trying to do everything they possibly can to make sure they have the depth that they did not have in the NBA Finals this past season.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go to the other side of that. Yeah, and yes, all the stats that he just mentioned out are absolutely spot on. But the Nets also for them is just a pure salary dump because they've been paying a hellacious luxury tax when they went on that spending spree with Pierce and Garnett. And Joe Johnson and Darren Williams. So that's more of it for them. I look at Doc Rivers as the GM of the Clippers and say, you're going to give up a six-man of the year who's won it and is always a contender straight up for Brandon Haywood. If I was Cleveland and the Clippers were offering me that deal, I would take that first. And here's why. LeBron loves Varejao. You know he doesn't want to get rid of him. I think he will to get Joe Johnson, but I don't think he wants to. So if you can get rid of Haywood's expiring contract and bring in Jamal Crawford, let's not forget, when that depth was tested, they didn't have any more scoring punch off the bench. So if you put Jamal Crawford right in his role as a sixth man and say, okay, how many balls do we have with the starting unit? We got Kyrie, we got LeBron, we got Tristan, we got Kevin Love. That's going to be hard enough to keep them satisfied. So they don't really need to add Joe Johnson to that to add another mouth to feed, so to speak, on the starting lineup. You bring Jamal Crawford in and only give up Brandon Haywood's expiring contract, which you've been trying to unload the whole offseason, now you bring somebody in off that bench to help that second unit, and I think that's exactly what they need. So I'm wondering what's the holdup. I wonder if Doc Rivers is having cold feet because that's the trade I would make if I was Cleveland, and good Lord, they must be printing money at Quicken Loans because they are just on a shopping spree in Cleveland like I've never seen.
Wow, that's some great points.
You can't question their commitment to win right now, that's for sure.
You can't.
They are going all in.
And not a question. Because they're on pace to not only have about $110 million payroll, they're going to have to pay close to $100 million in luxury tax, too. So that's going to be close to $200 million that they're going to have to spend out in Cleveland. So they're doing everything they possibly can to win.
They're tricking all that LeBron merchandise money off.
Yeah. And we haven't even seen where this contract is going to be yet.
Right.
Whole other conversation right there, too. And I will say this, too, with apologies to Rob. Whenever we play in fantasy football, JQ, Rob will always throw some crazy trade, blah, blah, blah. And back in the day, he used to always try to include Randy McMichael. What about Randy McMichael? I'm like, man. You know,
That was years ago. I hadn't done that in years.
He hadn't been a factor in years.
What I'm saying, this is what Rob would do. He'd try, hey, man, what about this and Randy McMichael? Like, that was going to be, like, the, you know, icing on the cake. And we were like, man, really?
Hey, yeah, you had to throw in a player to be named later. You know about that, right?
So this is what I'm saying. This is what it feels like for Cleveland. They're trying to, like, pull the hokey-doke, like, throwing in, you know, Anderson Varejao, and if they go that route with the two players, for Joe Johnson. Man, come on, man. You know, that's one of those situations, too, man. That's what it reminds me of, man. But,
yeah, but that's the Nets, though. They're even entertaining
yeah,
them.
I
think it's look at all the first round picks they gave up to get Joe Johnson, and you're gonna trade him for some.
Crazy.
I mean, I like Anderson Barajal, but you know, Haywood is just a salary dump. Yeah, it's that's sad, dude. That's like trading Boardwall for like Baltic Place.
It's crazy. That's exactly what I was talking about. Feels like they're just like trying to pull the 1-2 on us, man. So, like I said, I said the apologies rocks. Remember those days, man? We're like, come on, man. We're throwing in players trying to make things work, man. So, anyway, the best option, of course, would be for Hayworth for Crawford straight up. But, you know, if that's the case, you know, that's probably enough crunch and whatnot. But we'll see how it plays out for sure, man. So, either way, I'm like you guys. Like, how is Cleveland getting all this money? We'll see how it's definitely going to talk about that as far as coming into the East and whatnot, too. But let's kind of kick
it
off
was.
With some
It's the merchandise money, and it's all the additional revenue they're going to get for the additional home games at the gate for the, you know, the merchandise and the seats, the concession, all that they're going to keep in-house because they plan on making it to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. So you're thinking if they don't sweep every round, you're getting three home games every round and then maybe an NBA Finals. That's where that money's coming from.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's going to be, somebody selling out, and we'll see how it plays out. And somebody's printing money, like you said, it's just interesting, man. So we'll have some fun with that. Free agency tracker, Rob, you want to kind of give us a quick update as far as what's happening in the world here? I know we're going to talk about a big move, what happened, one of the big names actually signed. So go ahead, sir, kind of kick that off.
Well, we actually, you know, we have so many free agents that have made some moves since our show on last week, so I like to spend quite a bit of time on this. And what I'll do is just kind of go over some of the moves, and we'll pause and kind of review a little bit, and then I'll keep going through some of them. You know, just real quick, we saw that Memphis retained Marc Gasol, 5 years, $110 million. Won't have to really spend a whole lot of time on that. We saw the trade today, the Celtics acquiring David Lee from Golden State in exchange for Gerald Wallace. We saw Aaron Brooks re-signing with the Bulls, Wes Johnson going to the Clippers. Charlie Villanueva, he must be about 50 years old. Still in the NBA. He signs with the Mavericks. Kevin Garnett literally is 50 years old. He's going into his 21st NBA season. It's a two-year deal. Yeah, he agreed to a two-year deal to remain in Minnesota. Golden State bringing back Leandro Barbosa. I think he had a nice impact off the bench for them last year. One-year deal, $2.5 million. We talked about Cleveland, some of their going-ons. But let's pause for a minute and talk a little bit about Dallas and San Antonio before we get to some of the other free agency moves. You look at Dallas, they did get DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews. That pretty much replaces Tyson Chandler and Monte Ellis, a couple of guys. They also lost Farouq Aminu. They are bringing back J.J. Barrera. It looks like at the moment he's just starting point guard. And they're also trying to work out a sign-and-trade to acquire Jeremy Lin from the Lakers. And then also the Spurs, you know, with getting LaMarcus Aldridge and David West. We talked about last week they re-signed Danny Green and locked up Kawhi Leonard. And looking at the Spurs situation here, I mean, they're going for the championship now, but it looks like they've even set themselves up to be successful long-term, too. I think Duncan and Ginobili will play one more season and retire. But even after that, you got Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge locked up for another 4 years after that. So just want to get you guys' thoughts on where Dallas and the Spurs are, and then I'll make a few comments before we go into some of these other free agent moves.
Go ahead,
Jackie. I'm sorry, because I was just waiting to get to San Antonio, because outside of San Antonio, literally for me, nothing else matters. What they are doing right now is just ridiculous. Giving David West at that contract level to come join that team after getting LaMarcus Aldridge, and then you get Ginobili to say, I'm going to come back for a year. Duncan comes back for a year. You re-sign Danny Green. Parker will be back. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's the gold standard at this point. And I do like what Dallas has done. I think that's an upgrade in both spots, from Tyson Chandler and Monte Ellis to DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews. But San Antonio, just on another planet. Even though I'm going to throw in one point that I know it's going to cause some controversy, but it's real interesting to me that when LaMarcus Aldridge signs with San Antonio, it's, oh, he fell in love with the Spurs organization. He, you know, they treated him right, yada, yada, yada. But when a star like LeBron chooses a loaded team, oh, he's just a ring chaser. he don't want to build his own team. I kind of find that narrative to be real funny, how they pick and choose who they put that on when they sign with a team, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
The interesting thing, I think the real interesting piece here is David West taking a league minimum to go to Spurs. He's obviously proven that he really wants to play with a winner. And I guess my next question to the two of you would be, does this catapult the Spurs over the Warriors? I still kind of question, can they play small ball with the Warriors? But I definitely think it catapults them from the 6th seed to the 2 seed in the Western Conference.
Oh, go ahead, Dre. I'll let you do that one first.
Yeah, I can agree with that, man, because right now you add a piece like the Marcus Aldridge. That's a huge piece, and this guy, easily 20, 30, you know, he can put up that many points, man. You're hoping that, I just hope there's enough, I'm trying to figure out how he's going to – I know he's going to fit within the system, but it's just a situation where, he can get his touches. Right now, they're easily second right now. Kawhi Leonard – like you said, David West, they can score a lot of different ways, Rob. So you definitely got to like them in that instance, man, at least number two. You worry about, that size. I don't think they can get pounded. But, like I said, we'll see how it plays out. But right now, it's clearly a two-team race right now in the West right now.
Oh, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a two-team race, and last week I still had the Warriors. But, oh, my gosh, getting West at the minimum and just what he brings on the court as well, not even the money, and then making sure you get Ginobili, because I didn't want to factor that in. You don't want to count those chickens before they hatch. So him saying he's definitely coming back and them having – they both have a championship pedigree at this point now, I understand, but the San Antonio way as they go about it, I almost want to put them now 1A and go stay 1B. But, it's so tough to call. I still think it's a two-man race, and everybody else has to be sitting there like, my word. And poor Portland. Shout out Portland. They lost 80% of their starting lineup. That has to be devastating.
Yeah. Portland, they could go all the way down to the second worst team in the West or the worst team in the West. That's how tough the Western Conference is, speaking of Portland. And, it's just going to be interesting to see, when you look at that small ball lineup that the Warriors throw out, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. If the Spurs was the catapult with a small ball lineup, you got to think one of the big men, maybe Aldridge. Then you have to move Kyrie Leonard to the four, and you probably have to go with Parker, Ginobili, and Danny Green. Does that small ball lineup does it match up with the Warriors small ball lineup?
Oh, but I think you're missing it. I think if you go Parker, Green in the backcourt, and Leonard at the three, I still think Aldridge and Duncan are big and mobile enough to play the four and the five, even against the small ball. I like LaMarcus against a Green or not even David Lee anymore. And I don't think Bogut's going to even be on the floor. And if he is, you say, great, you put Duncan on him. So I still think you got the right idea, but if you move it a slight bit where you put Green, who's actually a decent defender, at the two and move Leonard to the three, I still think you can interchange with Aldridge and Duncan at the four and five, even the small ball, especially in the fourth quarter when the game on the line. I still think they do enough to get it done.
The key is going to have somebody, when you move Iguodala to the floor, he was running circles around the Cavs in the finals. And so they didn't have a four that can match up with Iguodala. And so that's what's going to be key, when those two teams match up. I can't wait to see it. But I think we're all on the same page here. I think it's definitely going to be a two-team race in the Western Conference. Getting back to the Dallas Mavericks, DeAndre Jordan, I definitely think is an upgrade over Tyson Chandler. My concern here with DeAndre Jordan is, he shot 71% from the field, but those are mostly alley-oops from the, best point guard in the game, Chris Paul. And I don't think he's going to have that same kind of offensive production in Dallas. I think he'll still give you the rebounds and block shots. Wesley Matthews, a better defender than Monte Ellis, but he's not the scorer that Monte Ellis is. I personally think Dallas, they were the 7th seed this year. I think they dropped down to 8, 9, or 10 in the Western Conference, my personal opinion, thus far, based on what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But can we talk about CP3 for like 20 seconds? Really? You're not going to give him a high five and you're going to talk
about
that about him? I mean, I mean, I understand, you know, you can't be as that soft, DeAndre. He's just trying to get the best out of you. But my word, you know he's going to be a free agent. Don't do that. Don't you want him to come back? I mean, come on. What you doing?
Yeah, he just cost his team a chance of competing for a championship.
Yeah. he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because obviously, yeah, I kind of knew DeAndre Jordan had a slight lean to the Mavericks, but obviously his best chance of competing for a title was for him to stay in the Clippers, and also Chris Paul's best chance for them to stay. He tried to mend fences, but it just didn't work. It was too late.
Man, these young guys don't want to hear that. That's what Kobe can't get them in there. CP3 has the same mindset. These young guys are just not trying to hear that, and they're like, yeah, whatever. You old, you'll be out here in a second anyway. I think that's just where they are right now.
And now the Clippers are turning their attention to JaVale McGee or Amari Stoudemire. So good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're turning it. That's who they're looking to replace DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, that's good luck with that situation. Another team, you know, free agency wise, we can look at here.
And I want to ask real quick, and we got 3 minutes here, and I'll give us a quick minute. I know we're going to talk about, we're going to keep this going too. I want to talk about the Clippers really quickly too, because you kind of hit a nerve with me regarding that too, because I really think that the Clippers are what's happened with DeAndre Jordan. He's kind of trying to prove to Chris Paul. This is kind of my thought process that he can do without him. So we'll see how that plays. He can thrive without Chris Paul, what he's trying to do. But it's interesting, you know, they actually grabbed Lance Stephenson and they got Paul Pierce, right? And now they can kind of, I think the Clippers, you know, they can kind of pull off, they can kind of match up well with Golden State now. So they can literally put Blake
That's
Griffin
true. That's a good point.
They can run Lance Stephenson. They can do Paul Pierce. So I think this is, you know, let's not kind of easily throw them off so quickly. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about them. You know, maybe DeAndre Jordan, they're not really like crying, obviously. They're like, all right, you know, go ahead and do your thing. But that's just kind of something that I see as well, too. So just keep that in mind.
Good point.
As we move forward with that, too. So that's my little 2 cents on that, too, man. So, you know, they got – you kind of trading a couple players for some more veterans, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very good point. But I think if they was able to keep DeAndre Jordan, DeAndre Jordan is one of the most athletic big men in the game. He can run the floor like a deer, run the floor like a guard. He can jump out of the gym. And he would still be able to fit with the small ball.
And I just think
they
get those two guys, too. Yeah, they could still got those two guys and got DeAndre. So I
absolutely. And I think they would have definitely been right up there, you know, with the Spurs and the Warriors compete for the West. But I still think the Clippers are going to take a step back. I think they're still – they've dropped down to the bottom of the playoff teams in the Western Conference, in my opinion, with the loss of DeAndre Jordan.
Not that far. My counter to that would be I think they drop off in the regular season because it's going to take them a second to figure it out. But once you see them in the playoffs, you're not going to really want to play them.
Well, I agree with that. You're not going to want to face them, but I think they're dropping down to 7 or 8 seed in the Western Conference.
Ooh,
Paul Pierce not going to be able to get it done for 82 games. He's going to step up in the playoffs, but, you know, he'll be stepping up as a 7 or 8 seed.
Okay.
Gosh, cool. Hey, let's keep hold that thought, Rob. We got a minute. Let's play that for the OT portion, and then I know we got to talk about what's happening with the Lakers and getting Roy Hibbert. I want to hear your thoughts on that, too. But go ahead, Rob. Let's set it up real quick before we get ready to go to OT.
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss our OT portion, so definitely want to tune into this tomorrow. We still got a lot more free agency to talk about here. Sacramento Kings, Los Angeles Lakers, still got a couple of teams we want to talk about here in their free agency moves. So you definitely want to click on the same link and tune in on tomorrow when you get an opportunity. Next week we'll be back on Tuesday night. We'll be talking more NBA. We're still going to eventually start getting to some football coverage to preview the season for next year, college and pro. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that as we'll be gearing up for that as well. So we'll be on next Tuesday live, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It'll be 5 p.m. in Hawaii on next Tuesday night. Good night, people. We look forward to talking to you all on next week.
Don't play with fire.
Stay classy. Yep. Stay classy, San Diego.
I was waiting for that, JQ. All right. Let's keep moving, Rob. I just want to make sure we got that in there really quickly. So finish up what we're about to say, Rob. I know you're gonna transition, so I didn't mean to cut you off talking about the Clippers, but go ahead, sir.
Oh, no problem. I mean, I think we pretty much covered the Clippers. I know there's some other teams who would like to, you know, move on. You know, Sacramento Kings officially. I know we talked about this briefly on last week, looking at Rondo. That has been official. They also get Costa Kufis as well. And, Rondo, 1 year, $10 million deal. I think this is a safe move for Sacramento based on his behavior in Dallas. And actually, you know, his behavior in Boston even prior to going to Dallas as well. And, you know, see what kind of mindset he's going to have coming into that situation. But this is a team potentially that has some pretty good talent if Rondo has got his, you know, has got it between the ears. DeMarcus Cousins, another player. You got to hope he's got it between the ears. And, you know, Rudy Gay as well. Another solid role player to re-sign, Amir Caspi as well. And getting Costa Kufis as well. Do you think Sacramento can sneak in the playoffs?
No.
In the loaded Western Conference?
Nope.
I agree. I still think they're on the outside.
I look at Sacramento, and I looked at that trade where they basically just did a salary dump, thinking they were going to get Wesley Matthews and Monte Ellis and Rondo, and ended up with 1 year of Rondo, and then Kupas was okay. I wanted to see go Buckeyes, but you know, I just don't see that happening for them. I like Cousins, but I just don't really like all those parts. I feel like Rudy Gay disappears. You don't know what you're going to get from Rondo. You got Willie Cauley-Stein coming in, but he has no offensive game. I mean, Caspi is a 15 to 20 name player, you know, a third of the season where you're like, oh, that guy's pretty good. You know, I just don't see it happening for them. I thought that was a real pie-in-the-sky plan they were on. Given the state of their franchise, which they have had been playing out in the public papers, you know, with George Karl and trading Cousins, and who's going to come there? So, and even if you don't trade him today, you might trade him tomorrow because you got so much turmoil. I just don't like what Sacramento has happening at all.
Let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. A couple of nice moves. I mean, Lou Williams, Brandon Bass, solid role players. They should be finalizing a deal with Roy Hibbert any moment. Obviously, still not a playoff team, but do you like these moves going forward for the future for the Lakers?
I absolutely do. And people have been, you know, laughing like, oh, that's because it's your Lakers. But hear me out. It's a risk versus reward scenario with Hibbert. You gave up a second round pick to bring him in and eat into your cap space. You already had to meet the NBA salary floor anyway. So they had to make some more moves. So you're gambling on a all-star caliber center. If he doesn't make it, guess what? You got 1 year out of it, used up some cap space at the floor, and now you can let him go. And that comes off the books with Kobe at the same time. And then you got the young guys coming with Randall and Russell and Clarkson, and then getting Bass at a good deal, getting Lou Williams at a good deal. I feel like, you know, that gives them a start. The young guys have to play well, I think, to attract the free agents once Kobe leaves, to give them that kind of LeBron when he sees Kyrie feeling like, okay, I can play with that guy. He's developing into his own. They have to do that. But I think in terms of where they were last year and how they can play much better level, higher level now, given what they've done around it, if you get a healthy Kobe, I think I like the Lakers playing in long term with the young guys and in the short term with, you know, some of these high contracts with, you know, proven players in the past. If they come through for them, you know, they might threaten. They're not going to be a 6 or 7 seed, but they might threaten the 8 seed, I think, is their ceiling for this year.
Yeah, I'm not a Lakers fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I actually have to agree that I actually like the moves. You set yourself up to have another great offseason next year with a lot of cap space, but you set yourself up with some solid role players in Lou Williams and Brandon Bass and D'Angelo Russell. You're hoping he's going to take that next step here. Roy Hibbert, I think this is going to be a 1 year trial, see what kind of year he's going to have. He's only got a year left in his contract. And so I think that's a good gamble by the Lakers. I think these are all some very solid moves. Reggie Jackson, 5 years, $80 million in Detroit. Is that an overpay?
That is an overpay of an overpay. I don't know what's happening with Stan Van Gundy. It went, you know, if he's going over to Windsor and gambling during the week, I don't know what he has happening. But not for that kind of money. Nowhere near that. I was so shocked at that. It was like, hey, we got money. Here, take it. You know, if you were going to do that, then why not maybe trade for him? Or why would you let Monroe walk away for nothing and then spend that kind of money on Reggie Jackson? Just give that money to Greg Monroe and make him feel wanted and try to make it work with him and Drummond. I mean, that's like 3 steps backwards on just on a 2-player exchange there for me. I can't take Detroit seriously with that.
I totally agree. I don't know how you feel about it, Dre, but I think Detroit was borderline. They were playing some really good basketball toward the end of the season. It was knocking on the playoff doors. I thought that could have been some momentum to carry over to next season. But, you know, losing Greg Monroe to Milwaukee, and that's another team we can talk about. When the free agents start going to Milwaukee? And this is a series. This is a team that could be a top. Yeah, this could be a team that could be a top four team in the Eastern Conference now with Greg Monroe, Greek the Freak, you know, Michael Carter Williams, re-signing Chris Middleton. If you look at this team right now, Jason Kidd has got a talented roster, and I can easily see them catapulting to being a top four team in the Eastern Conference.
Even though I agree with that, but I think they overpaid for Middleton.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right on that.
I was going to say really quick, the reason why we're going to Milwaukee is probably because, definitely because of Jason Kidd. That's probably why you're getting all these cuts. Everyone just keeps raving. Surprising to me that they keep raving about him as a players coach and all that. So I think he's getting some players, and you know, that's definitely why that's even happening. But yeah, man, just
can I throw another reason into that? Can I throw another reason into that real fast?
Go ahead.
Absolutely that the pressure of going to the Eastern Conference in Milwaukee is so much less, you can almost go and flourish and not have that everyday worry. And I've been tracking that with the other free agent ones. Even if they go to a high-profile situation, they're going to a high-profile situation with a stacked roster, the San Antonio, the Memphis, the Golden State, the Clevelands. You know, they're going somewhere where
they can hide a little bit.
The pressure is there. Yeah, but you can hide, and it's so many other stars with you to take the pressure off. You go to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference and say, okay, you know, we get these guys to a sixth or the fifth seed. You know, I can run for mayor. You know, forget Scott Walker. So it's like, I think that's a piece of it. Is the low pressure situation of going to that.
You guys think about the New York Knickerbockers here, Aaron Aflalo.
I was going to say about that. Yeah.
Kyle O'Quinn. You know, a lot of cap space this offseason. That's the best they can do. Greg Monroe turned them down. What's the situation with the Knicks?
Are they still paying for Allen Houston's contract, by the way? Are they still paying for that?
Yes.
Okay. They're still paying for Allen Houston's contract. No, I mean, the fact that you got some people to go there, you know, maybe that's a testament to, you know, definitely to Phil Jackson. I think they're going to struggle. It's going to be interesting, Matt.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. Their best free agent signing is Robin Lopez, Brook Lopez, and that's only because his brother is in Brooklyn. So I guess you can
Robin Lopez is going to Knicks.
Sorry, Robin Lopez